to the Cameron Park Community Services District Parks and Rec Committee. Today is Tuesday, November 4th, and we are calling this meeting to order at 5:30 on the dot. Roll call, please.
Director Scobie, I forgot to do that part.
I'm here.
And Director Gilchrist.
Here.
Thank you. We have a quorum.
And moving on to our next item is the adoption of the agenda. Any comments, questions?
No comments, questions, or additions.
Would you like to make
it? I will make a motion to approve the agenda as stated.
Great. I will second that. All in order. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Agenda has been adopted. Approval of minutes. I was here last time. I read through the minutes. They look very correct to me. I don't see any changes or comments. So I would make a motion to approve the minutes unless you would prefer
wait. That's fine. I will second the motion.
Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. The minutes have been approved. Now we move on to open forum where we get to hear from all of you.
You sound so excited.
I am. This is like the only time.
This is like our biggest crowd.
Unless I run into you on the
all.
Street. You know? Run you over. No. Run into you. Yes. Yeah, so please. How are you, Rosemary?
I'm fine. Thank you. I'm here just to tell you guys that the park, the lake is gorgeous. This is the first year in 27 years that I know of that the water has looked like that, just beautiful. And you're actually finding a way to get rid of some of the geese.
That was not us. We did not do that.
I'm just being funny, but I thought it was a guy. Anyway, I'm thankful for the bubblers and for the fountains. I'd like a couple more, but I don't want to be greedy. But
nice to see you. Thank you. Appreciate your comments. Who else would like to speak? This is open forum where you can bring up anything that's within the jurisdiction of this committee that is not on the agenda. So, please.
Do you want me to speak?
Sure.
Well, actually, I know Mo, and I spoke to the board last time.
Yes.
But thought I'd bring some friends. I guess I brought somebody that knows everybody here.
Yes.
Yep.
But yeah, I agree. The lake is looking great. And I mentioned last time, it's exciting. You know, Mo, you brought up the idea of, you know, looking at getting that water area going again, and the fact that things are in pretty good shape over there. So that's exciting. You know, creating an event-like environment here in Cameron Park is it's a unique place and just as interesting and fun in its own unique way as going to El Dorado Hills and walking around over there. So today I'm just here with my friends. And so you've already heard from me that the concern that on June 26th we went from the nice fountain to the bubbler thing. And so in certain places and times, like at nighttime and like if you open up the windows and so on, you really do hear that bubbler as opposed to the nice fountains that were, you know, working for, I don't know, a few years. And that June 26th was like a bit of a shock. And so the issue for me personally is if I'm looking to be able to step outside and have some quiet that I've enjoyed since 2008, it's not really available to me, that real quiet, not at any point in time, because it's always going. And then at the same time, at nighttime, if I'm sleeping, if I open up the windows, really not, you know. So, and then you can't really enjoy that fresh air, but also, you know, you can still hear the noise. So it's like a water faucet kind of running. But that's, you've heard from me already. I know the board has heard from me, but I don't know if anybody else wanted to add anything to that.
Well, we have one at a time. So. Thank you. Sorry, Rosemary.
Hold
on a minute, Rosemary. Do you want to hear from a second person? The same person a second time?
I'm fine with that.
Okay, go ahead.
I spoke to a window maintenance fellow today, and they said that they'll work with David. As far as I'm concerned, I love the sound. David doesn't count. But we are going to try, and he said you're going to try and change things, because he said there are several different
you probably want to talk about it.
Yeah, I'll just say that we've gone out there, we've measured the decibels again, so I know a lot of this is kind of rehashing, and it is right at about that 58 to 60 decibels, which is what we're talking at right now. That's literally this level, and that was at the fence line over there. So it's not, we've got no other complaints. It is a feature that's there that we had to make a change, because what happens is those snails get in, they get pushed up, they clog them, we have to send people on the boat, lift the whole thing out, and it's staffing. So the remedy was to simply take those nozzles off. We've got our desired effect out of that. And so I think that's where we're at today, unless there's some other action that needs to happen. With respect to staff out there, the maintenance staff need to talk to their supervisor, and we will work through that with our lake management company.
Mm-hmm. Did you want to add anything?
So they took the feature out that'll make it spray.
Correct.
As opposed to...
Yes, the snails go up and they block it is what happens. And so now we're not getting any water flow at all.
We didn't know we had snails.
We have snails.
You have snails.
We have a lot of snails.
Didn't even know we had crawdads.
They actually come in from the birds. Yeah. Yep.
The birds bring them in?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, anyone else like to speak on something that is not on the agenda? This is your opportunity. Yes, please.
Hello, Chuck Nielsen. I see you have park improvement plan updates and Krista McAuliffe updates. Is that going to include the pickleball?
We will talk pickleball extensively, yes.
Okay, so we'll hear from you then.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Thank you. Anyone else? Yes, please.
Yeah, I'm Kathleen Smola, and I just wanted to make sure also there will be a conversation about the at Krista McAuliffe Park about the skate park and the park itself that are currently existing.
Yes, we'll be talking about that as well.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Anyone else? No one else? All right. Thank you all for your input. We really appreciate it.
Have a session.
We'll move on from our open forum onto department matters. And the first one is Cameron Park Lake update.
So I'll kick us off, and then I'll have Mark tie in on some of the technical thing. He's been out there every day. But as you're all probably aware, that we have an outbreak of avian influenza. Some of the signs that are out there states that there might be some toxic algae. Understand that was the initial impression when we first found our first few dead geese out there. We kind of put our heads together and said, hey, just by the way they're acting, this appears to be what it is. But we didn't know what it truly was going to be until we had the necropsy done. And so I've learned way more than I ever thought I would need to know on birds and avian flu and all that. So that took, I believe it was 10 days for us to get that back. We got that back, and it was actually avian influenza. And after talking to our Cameron Park Lake historian here, Monique, because this happens all the time. So, and sure enough, that's exactly what it was. And I think it's an H5 strain. So we immediately went into what does that mean? What does that mean for the health? At the health department, what does that mean for the citizens? Do we need to shut the lake? Do we need to keep people off the water? So those are all the things that we started going through. So we worked with Department of Fish and Wildlife. We worked with the Department of Health here in El Dorado County. We worked with the California Wildlife
Encounters and Sierra Wildlife.
Yeah. So we work with all of them, and they've all been great to work with. At the end of the day, we tied in with the Department of Health, and we said they gave us some things to push out with respect to wash your hands, don't come in contact with the feces, those kind of things. But the pointed question we asked is, do we need to close the lake? And the answer was no. This poses no threat to humans. Now, if you come in direct contact with the feces and those kind of things, or a dead bird, you just want to wash your hands. And so Mark's even talked about, if you're going to be out there, take your shoes, don't track them in the house, wash those off, just out of abundance of caution. And really, that's more for not tracking it from Cameron Park Lake to say, well, Bass Lake's a bad example because it's already there too, but other lakes or other bodies of water. So that's where we're at. I think we're a little over 50 geese today.
Today, yeah, total
and,
50.
We've got Sierra Wildlife. They've all been great. As soon as they find a deceased bird, they're pulling them out of the water. Our park staff is out there doing the same thing. We talked about doing some water sampling because we didn't know what it was at first, but apparently that takes 10 days because they have to grow cultures and things like that, and there was rain coming, and so it wouldn't have meant anything, and we didn't want to waste
the $1,000 on that test to get something that's already passed. So that's why we didn't do that. Other than that, we've checked everything that we needed to out there. We're still out there multiple times a day checking the water. It looks like it slowed down a little bit. Today was probably our lowest, right?
Yeah, so last Friday we had the highest number was 10. Over the weekend we kind of fell down to 5. Today was only 3. So it's like it's a flu. Obviously it affects birds different than humans, but it will come down gradually. And so we're hoping, knocking on wood here, that we're at that tail end. But that is the initial group of geese that do come down from Canada. And Sierra Wildlife has said, well, there will be other mm-hmm. birds that are migrating south, and whether they bring it or not, we just don't know. So, you know, we're just being cautious.
A little overly cautious.
Did you look into whether boats, we still have people fishing out there. Did you get any recommendations for that people to stay out of boats in the water?
No, it was just simply pets. Don't come in direct contact with dead birds and the species. Okay. That was the direction. So we left everything open.
Okay.
We kept the signs that are out there just because we want people just to be cautious.
Mm-hmm.
But we are talking about creating new signs that are changing it to avian influenza and mm-hmm. a little bit of what that is. And so we do have, that was part of our, when we're done with this event, we're developing an emergency action plan. So it pulls everything in and what we did, who were the contacts, who were the phone numbers, because that took us some time to figure out who to contain some of the conversations. We had some interviews that were being done on our behalf at our lake that none of us knew about. And so we had to contain all of that. Not that we're hiding anything, but if you're going to speak at our facility, it probably needs to be a representative from our organization because we've been in contact with everybody. And then we also didn't want to get out in front of the health department and all these other agencies. That's the importance of making sure it's released appropriately. So that's what we've done on the avian influenza. We have had another deceased bird found just right around the corner here. We don't know, you know, what the association is, but it wasn't even near a body of water, and I believe it's over in Bridalwood Lake now.
Yeah, they've had two, and Bass Lake. I checked recently; they've had two or three. So it has spread, as everybody said it would.
Yep. Yeah. Primarily geese. We had one
cormorant.
Yeah, and then the rest have been geese.
So on the emergency action plan you're talking about, is this something that is encompassing only a wildlife emergency action plan, or is this like a greater emergency plan for the entire lake?
Great question. So it's one component of the entire emergency action plan. So
for
that,
the lake.
This hasn't existed, so we need to create this chapter, if you will, to put that in there for the lake.
Okay, good.
And so that'll include, you know, the dam emergency plan and all those things. This will be just another section.
Okay, great. I have another question on are you done with the lake?
The other things that we're continuing to do out there, obviously there's a lot of deferred maintenance that still needs to be done, so Mark's been looking at that. We had a hole in the floor, it was a safety issue, so we had some emergency repairs out there for our maintenance workers. There's a big hole right in front of their door on the second floor, so Mark took care of that. It's been that way for a while, apparently. We're still assessing the lagoon. Everything is coming back the way I won't say the way we thought it would. It's coming back positive. And so there's a lot of expensive equipment we have out there. And so we're in a good position should we choose to bring that back at some point. So now we just need to make sure we're maintaining that level. I think at the end of the day, once we're done with our experience with the avian influenza, we truly need to think about what it is that we want to do at the lake. Because this will continue to happen, especially if we have a non-migratory population, which we do, very high population. It's going to continue to do this year after year after year, because it's no different than if you have something going through the house and your whole family's there, eventually it's going to go through the whole family. That's the way it works. So we need to think about, you know, what that looks like down the road. I don't have the answers yet. We're going to give some suggestions at a future meeting. Anything else?
So two things in regard to the lake and the dam, because everybody knows we've got rain coming, hopefully tomorrow. In compliance with what we're required to do as a facilitator of a dam, we pulled the boards out, which will allow the overflow to work properly. So the lake has set at its level that anything more coming in will go straight on through, continue into Deer Creek. So we've done that. In conjunction with that, leading up to this time, we had a lot of work with the Grellersburg crew for Cal Fire, and we've cleared a lot of that. That whole spillway is now clear in anticipation of the winter rain. So we're looking good in that regard, so that's, we're ready for all that. And we have to, and we had a dam inspection. It went very well. It was on Monday, and we have a couple of to-dos, and I think anytime you have the government doing an inspection, you will always get something to do. So as in the past, we'll have a couple of items to fix, but the inspector was very happy with the condition of the dam. The tule reeds up against the face of it, they like that because it adds additional structure to the front side of that dam. It's an earthen dam. So that went very well. So we're expecting to get a dam permit, a permit for our dam, not a dam permit, probably within the next month or so. So things are looking good at the lake and at the dam.
How often is the dam inspected?
Once a year. And typically around this time, because if they see something egregious, I guess a few years ago we had some gophers that had burrowed in, and we had some other nuisances. I guess we had beaver out there. Mm-hmm. So if they see that, they want us to get on that before the heavy rains would come.
Thank you.
So did I hear you say the inspector liked the tules on the dam?
Yes.
On the face of the dam?
On the face of the dam.
Because I've been hearing for the last 8 years that the tules aren't welcome on the face of the dam. So just curious.
Because I had, so we specifically asked, are we okay? Because we've had the Shingle Springs Band of Miwok Indians come out. They harvest them and they make their crafts and their boats and all that with them. And I had asked Brad, who is out there quite a bit, I said, so next time we get the opportunity, let's get them out there. And when he had mentioned that to the dam inspector, he said, no, it's actually good to be where, I don't think they want them covering the whole thing, but where they are, he was happy with them being there. So the only thing we don't want is that to hide something or somebody that has burrowed it into the dam, right?
And you mentioned there was a hole in the staff building that you fixed in the floor. Is that building no longer staffed?
No, it's they're there every
day. They're there every day, okay. Yeah. And then did you want to provide any, is there any more information on the lagoon, on the and moving forward with that, or is that later in the agenda?
No, we don't have any more on the lagoon other than we've had our lake management company advising us. They've inspected all of the drain boxes. They've inspected the pump. Mm-hmm. They've inspected all of our equipment, the media that's out there, and the media is all in good shape. I think we might need to add some in one of them, one of the tanks. But other than that, it wasn't going to. It's not the big $50,000 bill for tank that we were looking at. The media is actually good, so we shut it down the right way. So now we'll do an assessment. What I've asked them for is I need a full lake management plan that encompasses everything, including what would the operation look like on the lagoon, what would the annual cost be. Once we have that, then we can bring something back to the board with a plan and a go, no go. A lot of our conversations out there and around about town, everybody's been to the lagoon, everybody wants the lagoon back. I think where we have it right now, it's more of a hindrance than it is a help because it's just blah. It's there. We're not running it. We're not filtering or anything. So you just get that water that's stagnant, and we get a lot of things that grow on that.
So do you have a time frame of when you'd be getting that information from the lake management company?
No, we've talked to them for a while now. After this last incident with the influenza, you know, we kind of lit a little fire in them a little bit. So I'm hoping to have something by December. At least what the cost will be, but an overall plan, that's probably going to be a little bit longer.
Can we give them a deadline?
What's that?
Can you give them a deadline? Otherwise, we'll be
doing this for a while. Yeah. Okay. Anything else before I open up to the public?
I'm good.
Any other questions? All right. Let's hear. What do you? Will, any comments regarding the Cameron Park Lake? From the public. Yes, sir.
My wife asked me to speak to this. I don't go to the lake too much anymore since there's no pickleball. However, she goes there to walk quite often, and she plays tennis. She has her annual pass, and the gate's working great. However, there are those, as you know, that don't pay to park on Cambridge. And it's become, according to her, it's become very dangerous because they park real close to the gate on Cambridge on both sides, and you can't see out. Mm-hmm. And she's real concerned. Yeah. So maybe a couple of no parking signs, yeah. Several spots, I don't know.
You bring up a good point. We've actually been engaged with DOT, and yeah. So we thought it was going to be a long, drawn-out process where we think we found the loophole that they've identified that will allow us to do that. Two thoughts. One is most of that is private property, i.e. our property, so we could potentially put signs out there. Two is absolutely a safety issue because as you pull up and those cars are parked there, you can't see
right.
on either way. So you're absolutely right. So we have identified that. We're working with DOT to put permanent no parking signs out there. A lot of it, well, I don't want to accuse everybody. A lot of it is disc golfers yeah. that we see. And I'm just saying that because I see everybody walking up with backpacks, but there's others, I'm sure, doing it.
Yeah.
But four or five cars in that area, you cannot
there's
see.
Plenty of parking on Sandhurst.
Yeah, I think.
Yeah, that's what we used to do when, mm-hmm. when the dam or the bridge was broken.
So we're looking at that and maybe even putting almost like a crosswalk or something there too, just because we're going to have people crossing the street there.
Yeah.
So that might be something that DOT, they mentioned that we might not have to go to the full commission, so we're waiting to hear back from them on what the process is going to be.
The other thing that the tennis players have brought up is what was our permanent pickleball courts to the far mm-hmm. west. Those gates have become locked again. And whenever their balls go over there, some of these are elderly people and they have to climb over to get yeah. their balls in it because those two gates are locked.
Yeah, I got an email on that. So I was going to yeah. go out there and unlock that far one. The reason we locked that and we put up the additional signage was some of the pickleball players were going back in and playing
exactly.
pickleball there. So
that's not our group.
And not your group. No,
we get the complaints from the residents and somebody's playing pickleball out there again. So, yeah.
So, no, I got that email. I think yeah. I got it yesterday.
I thought you guys painted over the lines.
No, so the everything is permanently installed in there. They did a really good job with that installation, I can tell you that. So we were initially going out to cover that up somehow, but that's going to be a construction project, and it was very expensive.
Do you have a time frame for when the no parking signs from DOT may
show
up?
No, we've been working with DOT since before we started the gate portion, and so we're kind of it's going to be whenever they get back to us on that, but we correspond with them frequently to let them know that, hey, this is still an issue. They did offer to do a traffic study, which we accepted. Yes, please come do that. So I think they're going to be counting cars and you know, times of days and things like that. So that's the other part they're going to be doing.
Okay, great. Anyone else? Town Park Lake. Yes, please.
I have a quick mm-hmm. question. Why was the lagoon shut down to begin with?
That is a phenomenal question. There's a couple things. I think COVID played a part of it. Probably the bigger issue was that the kiosks, we staffed that with an employee out there, and it just got expensive, in addition to the cost of maintaining that. So it's a natural lagoon, but that requires a lot of chlorine and those kind of things like that. So it was a rising cost, COVID, and then now having a staff member there. Now, with the gate that's there, the robotic arm that's there, that kind of eliminates that because you don't have to staff that gate. But we're still going to have the cost of maintaining it. What we don't want to do is start it and have to stop it again. So we're looking for a way to start it, have some vendors or sponsors help sponsor it. Maybe they need naming rights, but we get so much money to operate every year. That, with more traffic coming in, there's other things to do at the lake. You can then open up the concession stand. You can have other things out there. So I truly think that lagoon is key to us getting open to the survivability of the lake out there. Good question.
With that, now that being open and that gate's unlocked, does there have to be a lifeguard?
Yes. We'd have full lifeguard staff out there for the lagoon portion only, not the lake.
When the gate's unlocked.
Whenever the facility's open, I should say. Yeah. So if the lagoon's not open for whatever reason, we would not have to have lifeguards. But the moment we open the gates to the lagoon, then yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyone else? Cameron Park Lake? Love to hear from you.
Am I allowed to ask one more question?
Sure. Maybe. You're okay?
So this is about something different. Is there ever any consideration? I know we have plans and you guys have potential spots for new pickleball, but has there ever been any reconsideration to reopen the pickleball that money was spent for at that park? Can we go back to playing pickleball there? Because I feel like, when I came to some initial meetings when they were
were shutting it down. I just feel like there wasn't as many people against it as there was for us keeping it available for people to go utilize. So I'm just curious if there was ever any reconsideration to open it back up for people to use.
I think that we're going to be doing a community survey soon because we get a lot of anecdotal information. We want to know from the community, what is it that you want? Because I feel for the board, because I feel sometimes they get pulled by whatever group comes to the meeting.
Sure.
But the short answer to your question is pickleball out there, the board have to make that decision, and they already made that decision. We closed it down. I would say that the proximity of the pickleball courts as it stands today, the old one, is pretty close to those residents, so I kind of get that. If there was a different location within the lake area that in the park we can put out there, I'd absolutely consider that. I just don't know where that is. Because we've got we talked about the water, noise of the water. So wherever you put that out there, it's going to be noise. If you put it down where the disc golf course is, then they're pissed off and it's close to home. So I don't think at that location is probably a good idea. I think that doing something in a different location would be better use for that.
It was my recollection when we closed the pickleball at that is that there was a legality permitting issue as well, because the tennis courts were permitted, but the pickleball, the district didn't go out for a permit at that point.
I think we had a conditional use permit.
Conditional use, and it went to the Planning Commission. Anyway, needless to say, we never got through that process. So
I got a real quick question. This has to do with the frisbee golf out there. Mm-hmm. What's the biggest concern that people have talked about with people out there, and two, what does the community gain from having disc golf out there?
I love where you're going. So I haven't heard anybody with a real concern of the disc golfers other than where they're parking, and there's a lot of them. When we went out there, and I mean 60% of the people we ran into were for disc golf. Our challenge, I would say one of our concern, is there's zero revenue that comes, and we still have to maintain that. So Mark's got park staff out there. We've had some missteps with contractors we've had out there where they've sold some of the holes for $1,000 a piece, and then they left. And so those people are thinking that, hey, I own that hole, and they don't. So mm-hmm. we've had to do that. We've had issues at the kiosks out there. You know, we had a vendor that was running that, and it was great, but we got no revenue from that. But we still paid for the internet. We still paid for power, air, all of that. And so that was, another concern. I would say the biggest one for us is that there's zero revenue and all expenses for us, up to and including, we used to have a porta potty out there. And the vendor that ran the kiosk, the concession stand, they were obligated to pay for that. And they said, hey, we're not making enough money, so we're going to pull it. And so we told them we're evicting you then, because that was just another expense that we would have had to take on. Now, I will tell you that, and you guys have probably been out there, it's a jaunt. It's not like it's next to a parking lot. It's a jaunt. So it's not like they're going to walk back over to the restroom so you can figure out what they're doing. So those are some of the bigger complaints. I haven't heard a lot of complaints from citizens about the disc golfers. They seem to be a great group. They've all been friendly. I haven't seen any major issues. It's just that there's no revenue at all, and we have all expenses.
Yeah, because like you're saying, they all park on the road, and then they park on the road next to it, and they hop the fence because it's much shorter.
Exactly.
It's much shorter.
And they're all doing
that.
But
then they still have to go to the first hole, which is the furthest point, but then they just start at the hole where they, I think that's the nine.
How much cost is it? We don't charge at all right now. I will say with the implementation of the parking arm, we are likely getting some now, because some are probably paying the $550 to get in, but you do have a number that are outside the gate as well.
How much is it costing?
I could put a dollar amount, because you have the flail mower, we're doing some weed eating. Luckily, we've got our partnership at Cal Fire. Their crew's been out there, so it's a lot of work to maintain it, because you do have to keep the weeds down and everything, so it's not cheap.
It's like the swimming pool, when they first came in, put in the disc golf, they were absolutely positive that they would take care of the whole thing. We wouldn't have to do anything else.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's it for our Cameron Park Lake update. Moving on to park improvement plan updates.
All right. So at a board meeting a while back, Director Israel had referenced a park improvement list back in March of 2024. And so I've gone back and I've found the list. I've pulled it up and I've gone through and I've updated it. And there's a fair number that have been completed. You gave that to me, didn't you?
Clicker's right there.
Which one is it?
The one to the right.
I don't know. That's a bit of an eye chart. So under the park projects, you know, the ones that we were able to complete, obviously we've spoken to it, the automatic gate has been installed. It's up and working. We've worked through a number of startup bugs, but knocking on a wood that doesn't exist right here, we're still going strong with that. The Cameron Park Lake West boat launch was an item on here. We're researching it. Actually, a couple of months ago, some Rotarians had approached me. They remembered that this was on the list. They would like to have a discussion. We're going to go out there probably somewhere in between the holidays and take a look at it. You know, this would be a, I don't think we can make it fully ADA compatible, but a place where kayaks, we don't really want to encourage paddle boarders because we, at this point, don't want people in the water full
I've
time.
Seen them out there.
But kayakers, I don't fish, but what is it when you get in the little inner tube thing and you paddle around?
Pro tube.
You know, those, they'll go out through that. And so it's a place where you can safely get in and then exit the lake. That could be done with park impact fees, so we're researching that with the Rotary Club.
We can pause there for a second. We are looking at solar cats. We are looking at aqua bikes. The intent is if we have the revenue and the plan comes back and it's you know, feasible, we do want people in the water. We want them to be out there fishing. We want them to be out there in the aqua bikes and in the solar cats. Again, the more attractions we have at the lake, the more people will come out there. I think there's more revenue that will come in to help us maintain the lake. And so that would be something we want to do. We're also looking at grants to make the docks ADA compliant. And so those are things that are on the list. We just have to look at the funding that we have and what's available. Sorry.
Yeah. Under this situation, there would be two. There'd be a ramp on the west side, just kind of as you come in, there's that little turnaround. And then the docks are on the east side behind the lagoon. Lake aeration bubblers, we have completed that project. When it's still, actually I was out there right before the meeting, there's a slight breeze, but you could see there's 10 bubblers out in the lake, all at various depths, and that is helping with the lake quality. As we get air in there, things breathe better, less stagnant water, so that has been completed.
But almost completed. I would just add that we, you know, just for all transparency, we do, it's not a perfect system. There's some issues with it. We have not paid the final bill for that because we don't feel that it's working 100%. And so we're working with our attorney to see how we come to remedy on that.
Yeah. Pickleball courts. I don't have a lot of history on what this meant. Did it mean at the lake? Probably not. I think it's somewhere else at the price tag that's on here. It's under review. We have a presentation coming up that'll explain more of what we're looking at there. Depending upon the final design and where it's located, that number could either go up or go down. I won't steal too much of Mo's thunder. One full court or two half court basketball hoops. We're looking at that. We just spoke about the old pickleball courts. Would it be possible to put in half court? I don't know the length of that tennis court versus what a full court basketball court is, but could we put a basketball court in there? And that would give, because there's a lot of kids that go to the playground, mm-hmm. and I do see older siblings of younger kids on the play structure. It would give those kids, or even adults, a place to go and play half court basketball. Mm-hmm. Again, given the proximity to the homes, how much noise would there be from a bouncing basketball? We have to do some research on that. The Cameron Park, the lake playground, it is in need of refreshing. One of the swing sets has a bent pole. Part of what I have budgeted for the coming year is we have to refresh. It's called playground fiber, but basically it's an impact attenuation material. It's very fine wood chips, but they don't splinter. You'll see them in all the parks. It's light-colored wood. So we need to do some of that work in there. And basically, it's a very well-used playground, and it could use some updating. We talked a bit about the replace the swimming lagoon, or do we replace the lagoon just as it used to be, or maybe with some improvements. That and bocce ball is a possible alternative at the lake. Both of those would be included in the community survey. On the right-hand side, it talked about status and funding. Some of the notes from back then where they would use, park impact fees. There are some restrictions on what we can use park impact fees for. So I just highlighted that some of that would have to come out of the general budget instead of a park impact fee. Community center, so we completed the teleconference.
Sorry? Well, we're going to continue this update, and then the board will will ask questions, and then everyone will get to comment at that time. So
okay,
if you can write down your...
The pickleball course, is that the extent of the discussion, or is there...
There's a full discussion on just that.
Under what topic?
The very next topic.
Okay, very next topic. There you go.
Okay, on the community center projects, the teleconference system, it was installed and completed. Part of it exists in here, the item you see up on the wall, and then the majority of that teleconference system was in the main assembly hall. The community center pool shade, we are going out, receiving quotes. We're looking at possible designs. That would be Prop 68 type funding, and so that's a work in progress. Floating pool play structure, researching that, what it would involve and the costs associated, with that. That is, if you've been to El Dorado Hills pool, when they took their high dive out, they had three or four of these inflatable, it's kind of like an obstacle course on water. So the kids jump in and they crawl over things and they jump and they do all that stuff. So it would be something similar to that. And then, of course, the splash pad water feature at the pool area. We're investigating what it would take to replace the slide that was out there. I guess the old slide was taken down because it just kind of had grown into disrepair.
Yeah, and we couldn't get parts.
Yeah, and I would just add that this is not a slide replacement. We're putting a new slide in based on the additional growth that we have in the community. So this will be a new slide. We haven't had a slide in well over a year.
And then smaller projects, this is again back from March of 2024, paint the assembly hall and the community center. We've been doing work here at the community center. I was trying to find out if they're talking about painting the interior, the exterior, the whole thing, but we could potentially do that. Some of that maintenance work has been already budgeted. Refurbish the gym floor at the community center. I have quotes. We would need the board's approval, I believe, to use Quimby funds for that. So we can bring that forward. The floor in the gym could use some refreshing. It's definitely showing its age, and my pickleball people here will attest to that. And replace the trophy case in the entrance here with interactive televisions. That has been done, and you're...
For a lot less than that.
For a lot less than that, yeah. So you're welcome to go see what that is. And we can change those when we do change those. We put our programming, if you're standing there on the left-hand side, all of our programming is up on that. And then some of our partners have videos on the other monitor. Got to get two things. Okay, so main projects completed that weren't on that list. Recently, we repainted the fence around the pool. I think it looks great. It's also helping extend the life of that fence. It was rusting. It was in dire need of some sanding and priming, and so that has been done. As previously reported, we replaced the pool pump. We avoided any shutdown at all. We actually got it installed, back up and running, all within 5 hours, I think. The concession stand, check-in stand, has been completed. We've now used it several times. We had it at the trunk or treat, and we sold items out of there. You could buy chili Fritos. Chili Fritos.
In the bag.
In the bag, yeah. So anyhow, it's kind of been, as they say in the retail business, it's been a soft opening, mm-hmm. but we've kind of worked those out, and it works great. And it's central to the quad area here, so that's good.
I might just add on that, the big component we're getting ready to launch is going to be the check-in location. So we met with all the swim teams, and they know that we're going to funnel everybody in through the courtyard. They'll have to check in. I think for the swim teams, they're either going to have a, I think they call it a bag tag or an athlete badge, and they'll be able to go in directly into the pool area. For everybody else, minus this building, everybody else is going to get issued a wristband. And that's just a security thing for us to know who's on campus, who should be on campus. Everybody that's coming into this building, they will check in at the front desk, and then they'll just go into the main hall. So we're working on implementing that, but that the check-in will be right here at the concession stand. So we're really close to getting that in.
The next item, classrooms A and B are being refreshed. We've completed A, and we'll probably finish up B this week. The floors and the walls were in dire need of upkeep and painting, so they look really, really good right now. And the hopes with that is with that refresh, adding some monitors and whatnot, they'll be more attractive for people to come in and rent out more than just, well, it's where we do our after school or the summer camp. We need more revenue opportunities than that. I'm very happy to announce that the assembly hall partitions have been repaired. If you go in to vote, you'll notice that we have half of the assembly hall closed off. The partitions are shut. The main partition is manual. The side partition is still motorized. But it doesn't take much at all. I mean, they're on rollers, so it's not something that I'm worried about somebody pulling their arm or whatnot. It's very easy to open them and close them. So we now are able then to rent out the assembly hall to more than one group at a time.
So I think it was $50,000 to $100,000 if we were going to replace the motors and those kind of things. We felt this was the best option given our financial situation. We can pull them. That's what we did.
Kind of getting down to the smaller stuff, but new hand towel and toilet tissue dispensers have been installed. The hand towels are touchless, right? So you don't have to worry about, you know, germs and all of that. And the toilet tissue, you might say, well, why are you replacing that? We can put more rolls in. And so there's less staff time needed to keep going in and checking, particularly when we have an aquatic event out there and you got 500 kids swimming. They use a lot. And then on the hand towels, we had those Z-fold towels. So you pull one and you get 10. Now with the dispensers, it's we're going to see a decrease in our paper goods costs on that. And then lastly, in process, we're doing next 2 weeks a deep cleaning of the restroom tiles, particularly focusing on the gym restroom and restrooms and the aquatics restrooms, particularly the aquatics restrooms because we have the showers in there. And so those things are wet a lot. So we want to make sure we get them deep cleaned and sanitized. And then lighting control for the entire facility, still fighting that. It's an obsolete system. Nobody knows how to program these things. And so we are trying to do very economically, how do we control these lights in these rooms independently? Because right now it's almost all on or all off. Good news is we've converted everything to LED. So the energy cost is not as atrocious as it might have been. But there's no exact replacement system for that. And last slide on this one, the parks, parking box, I already spoke to that. I ran the numbers because we've actually been up for 2 months now. We started on the 2nd of September, and so we've netted $11,000 in gross receipts. Credit card fees have to come off of that. But what we had budgeted and what had been done previously with the parking kiosk and all that, we're right on track. So it's good to see that. We've replaced, and I talked about this at some of the meetings, a significant number of irrigation equipment, valves and backflows. I think we've gone to three or four main backflows, or a couple mains and other ones. So it's just going to help keep our parks better next spring and summertime. Skate park, I know the gentleman here wants to talk about that. We removed the kiosk, but we left the bottom three layers, if you will, of the cinder block. The plan is to cap those so it becomes a seating element for people that will be visiting the skate park. And then lake algae treatments. It has been And with the new water management company, it's been an extreme focus getting that algae under control. What we saw with the first rain is all of the stagnant water that was up Deer Creek, when it rains, it gets pushed into our lake, and so we have to manage that. We didn't necessarily go treat that because we knew we were going to have rain again today. So once we get that second round of heavy rain, I think the lake, we won't see much of that because it's wintertime. It's not warm, so the algae bloom doesn't really go. And at the fire department, we replaced a large auxiliary water line that had burst and lifted up the asphalt good 3-4 inches. It was a big 4-inch main water line going into part of the fire station. So that was quite fun.
Which station?
89. So that was a lot of work right there. But it's replaced, so they're back up and running. New projects, not on the list, but things that we're working on coming up. So we need to replace the automatic pool cleaner. Some people know them as creepy crawlies, scuba steves, whatever, but it's the thing that after we shut the pool down at night, we put it in the water and it picks up. Very important as we're coming in, we're in fall now, but as the leaves start dropping, we got to make sure we get those leaves out of the pool. In the meantime, we're going to do the good old-fashioned way of vacuuming it by hand. So we do want to get that replaced.
It's about a $6,000 machine.
Yeah. We're looking into a real-time chemical testing equipment notification for the pool. We check all sorts of things, but the big ones are pH and chlorine levels. There's other things that we test. There are systems that will measure those chemicals in line. We still will do a manual check in the morning, but as you progress through the day, particularly in summertime, you get people that they're hot, they're sweaty, they jump into your pool. The reason we have showers out there is for you to wash off before you go into the pool, not necessarily after, because it washes all that sweat off of you, so it's an easier load on the chlorine. But anyhow, so we're looking at a real-time system, and if you start to go out of bounds on one of these measurements, it'll notify you. And you can even look at correcting it remotely. Because if we go out, then we have to shut the pool down. People get upset. Lap swimmers, typically that first reading in the morning, if it's out of whack, we have to shut down morning lap swim. They're not happy with that.
I think the intent really is for the lap swimmers, but also the teams. And so if you don't know that your water's out of whack until you get there at 5 a.m., you could have been notified before and actually had a team come out and take care of that, and the meet goes on or lap swim goes on. So we've done a lot better job with respect to chemicals now. It's not that often we close unless we have, you know, some kind of environmental event that happens from time to time out there.
And then the last one under the community center, more aquatics. we're looking at replacing or increasing our chemical storage into large containers. Right now, they're 5 gallon?
Five gallon drums.
5 gallon drums of muriatic acid. We're going to a 400 and 5 gallon drum. The cost of the 5 gallon drums per gallon versus the cost getting it in the bulk, our estimation is around $15,000 a year in savings by buying it in bulk. Because not only is it the cost of the chemical, it's the cost of somebody having to come out every other day and pour from a little bottle into the bigger container. So it'll be a good savings for us doing that.
I think to add on to that one, we will be going from a little over $15 per gallon to under $5 per gallon. Oh, and
nice.
So that adds up significantly. We are still going to keep CO2, as this vendor has said, hey, it's a good idea. So you can balance them, and we still have it as a backup for emergency. Prior to our team being here, we signed, I believe it was a 12-year agreement with the CO2 company.
12-year?
12-year agreement. So we're working through that. We're going to decrease the amount of CO2 that we're using in that agreement. It doesn't tell you there's a minimum amount, and so we're balancing that. So I think that we're going to use more muriatic acid. It's going to cost us less money, but we'll have the CO2 system that's still there as a backup. And using that will decrease the amount of chemicals we have to put in there. But I just want to highlight that's just a significant savings that we're going to see out there, and we're excited about getting that tank in. The company that we use to bring the chlorine out, they also bring, you know, muriatic acid, And the tank, I won't say the tank's free, but there's no upfront charge of the tank. And I just can't believe that we're going to get this new tank, 405 gallons, and it's going to be almost $10 a gallon cheaper. It's huge.
On the park side, so we definitely need to improve our signage at the parks, listing the park hours, the park rules, dogs or no dogs, dogs on a leash, etc. A lot of the signage is very old, and after a while, what I've learned is if you see the same sign all the time, it just becomes part of the landscaping, right? And so a refresh is going to, A, show people who might be new to the community. Here's, you know, we're dawn to dusk parks, right? And so reminding people of that, and just the general park rules. So that'll be good to have, and I think as I am all the parks all the time, I do hear from people. The group that's helping us at Musson, I always say it wrong. They help lock and unlock the park at night, and they've been requesting this. So we'll do it at Rasmussen. We'll do it at Krista and the other main parks, particularly with also the lake.
Never heard it called Rasmussen.
We've been saying Rasmussen, and everybody has been correcting us.
In our community, we say Rasmussen.
That's what I thought too, but we were corrected. I'm like, okay.
We're going to abbreviate the RAS. It's the RAS.
RM. We did replace all the signage here. We had some hazmat placards that were just faded, and all the emergency signs were faded. The parking signs were faded. So here, they've all been replaced.
Repair or replace damaged park barriers and fencing. We had a couple instances of, because we have a lot of post and cable, over time that the wood posts degrade, they fall over, they tilt down. In some areas, they're not even there anymore. And at Krista, we've had a couple instances where somebody has taken their off-road vehicle and decided to go out and do donuts on the soccer field. So we need to get those replaced. We're looking at perhaps something with a little bit more longevity than wood, but that's something that needs to be done, particularly at Krista, but also at the lake. It's just from an aesthetics, it doesn't look good. We have some that are white, some that are brown. A lot of them are tilted. Some of them have fallen over. So I think it would be good, and it's not that big of an expense. I already spoke to the playground safety fiber at the lake, Krista, at RAS Park. This is really a safety thing, so if somebody were to be hurt, somebody would come out with a measurer and make sure that we had the minimum amount of impact attenuation material. Playground fiber has been the standard. Newer parks you'll go to, they have that spongy floor. It's nice, it lasts longer than the fiber, but it's horrifically expensive. It's installed by hand. A trippy process to watch. And then lastly, on the park side, so the park at Krista, there's that one slide on the south where it kind of goes around. It's a loopy loop. At the bottom, that last segment, some of the metal is showing through it. That plastic has been rubbed over the many, many years, and now there's some pieces of metal that are sticking through. So from a safety perspective, we need to get that replaced. Reached out to the manufacturer, of course, because it's so old, they don't make it anymore. So I've asked them for alternatives. What else? Because it's a two-story, well, it's a two-level slide. So what else can I put there? And at that height, you have to be careful with it. Is it covered and whatnot? So we're working on that. And then other, and kind of a little bit of a tease for the next segment is...
Cover it next.
What's that?
Cover it next.
We'll cover it next.
Mark, under the repair of the park barriers, do you have the dog park on the list? It looks like someone on Cameron Park Drive drove through one of them. What is that, Dave West?
Dave West, yeah.
The dog park on Cameron
Park. I know there's a dog park.
There's
yeah.
a section of the fence that's broken.
Paul J.
Ryan.
Yeah, Paul J.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, there is that one section. We can go fix that one as far as updating it.
No, I'm just saying fix it.
Okay, yeah.
It just looks bad.
Caltrans notified us that that's part of their plan to widen that road in that area, so I don't want to do too much, but if it's busted and leaning, you know.
Okay.
I have a couple of questions. Basketball courts on the pickleball courts at the lake is actually a pretty good idea. And as much as I hate to pave anything, if we're looking at generating revenue and doing well with that park gate, we might want to consider converting those to parking.
Already had that discussion.
Okay.
So we'll continue to look at that. We know that to replace the play structure out there is going to be significant.
Yeah.
I think it's a very, very well-used play structure. So looking at maybe moving that to a different location, we're going to look at all of that.
Yeah. But
we consider putting parking there.
Yeah.
We have 62 parking spots out there. And so, do we get a
report from the gate as to how full? You know, they have a count going in and a count going out. Do we have like a status of our parking lot?
I do. I have gate counts going in, going out. It has the ability to know if 62 cars have come in, then it says parking lot full. There isn't a report that I've seen where I can say, okay, I know when my busiest times are, but I can't see when I've ever had that instance.
Okay.
Nobody's reported it to us.
Okay.
But
I'm just thinking of opening up the lagoon, pickleball, frisbee tournaments, events, and so forth. Mm-hmm. We'd probably fill up parking lot.
Parking will be
a thought. The other idea thing I was wondering is that saving the money on the big tanks for chemicals, where are you putting the tanks?
The tanks are going to go in the existing rooms. So when you look at that whole side over there, there's three different rooms. One's the pool room. The second one is chlorine room, storage room, and pump. And then the third one's going to be for the muriatic acid. Right now, there's a very small, I won't say small, it's a 50-gallon tank or so, a pressurized tank, and that has CO2. Our plan is to put a 405-gallon tank in there, move the CO2 tank in the corner, have them both in the same location.
Okay. And there's no safety issues?
There's no safety issues with that.
And
I heard that conversation when the fire chief signed off on that.
Okay. And then the last question I had was drinking fountains. Have you looked in all about upgrading, swapping out, putting in, you know, water container refillers in our facilities as one of these projects?
You must be psychic.
Yeah, right.
So just today we had a meeting with people from the county, and there is the opportunity to get some of those. It'd be water bottle refill.
Yep.
Yes, we actually talked about that today.
Great. I'll be looking forward to hearing more.
And the good news is that would be at no or very little cost to the district.
Nice. Okay.
I like those.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. Right.
Just wanted to bring to everyone's attention, we've been going for about an hour, so we probably want to step up the pace if we want to get through this entire agenda. So I do want to open this up to the public on park improvement plan updates. Any questions? Let's just try to keep it succinct and moving along, please.
Yeah, I got a question.
Yeah.
Has there been any movement for the land swap?
No movement other than the church that called and they want to send a surveyor out there and look at the property. Mm-hmm. That's the extent of it so far. But we're going to cover that as part of this as well.
Okay. Anyone else on park improvement plan? Nope. Perfect. Okay, moving on to Krista McCullough. I do. I mean, we've been here an hour.
Yeah.
Park improvement. Oh, Krista McCullough. Okay, yeah.
So I'll talk about Krista. This is really mostly pickleball, but I do want to highlight a couple things about Krista. We have experienced some significant issues with respect to irrigation over there. I think a lot of it has to do with two things. One is, for whatever reason, when it was designed, they put a very large, there's a 4-inch line over there. A very large water main line right next to all those trees. And it was probably fine years ago, but as the trees get bigger, they're starting to grow into those pipes that are over there. The other issue that we have is, and I think it's great for fire protection, but we have some of the hottest fire hydrants and pressures that I've ever seen. And so you're looking at 140 PSI on your water lines. They don't last very long. And so some of our reducers have gone out, and we've had to replace those multiple. Mark will go out and fix one, and that involves digging a trench, fixing it, and then another one blows, and then another one blows, and then the elbow blows. And so we chase a lot out there. The irrigation out there, at some point, we're going to have to do something significant to change it or get it away from those trees over there. So I'll leave that. This was a presentation that was done a couple of years ago, and it's by All Sport America. So I'm borrowing theirs, but I've added more to it. This happens to be the same company, the engineering firm that we engage with to look at what that might look like for other options out there for pickleball. So that's what this starts with. So this is just the whole thing. I want to bring it all back so we can see what they were looked at that time. These were not engineered. They were simply overlays to see what could it look like. We'd still have to have them come out and do the measurements and things like that. So this is Krista, overview shot of that, as you can see. Up along the tree line by Mary Chase up there, that's typically where you have a lot of the parents. That's where they set up their chairs and canopies and things like that. And then I know it's hard to see in here because it's so well maintained, our tee ball field over there. It's rough and needs some help, but that's in the upper left corner, if you will, up there. So this was an overview that I think it was the same company, the same engineer, actually. And he drew out what it could look, but there, like you said, he didn't do any engineering to this, so we'd have to go back, and we are engaging with them on this as one. But I also want to ask him, are there other options that we can have out here at the park? And then the other thing that we'll be doing is we'll be engaging with some of the parents out there for soccer. This is definitely one of our higher use parks in addition to the lake. We get about 47,000 visitors a year here. And so that's a decent number. We get a lot of good use out of that. When we've got soccer and t-ball going at the same time, it's pretty busy over there. So we want to make sure we can cohabitate all these services. So that's what we're doing there. This was a design for 10 courts. Again, anything that we do, we have to make sure that we're able to monetize it in order to pay for the repair and offset the installation costs and things like that. So anything that we do, we want to make sure there's a way that we can bring revenue in. And in order to do that, you're going to need at least 6 courts so you can start to have tournaments and those kind of things. That's really where that comes in. So at least 6 courts, 9 was the optimal. I think he said 8 actually was the optimal number for courts. This is what it looks like. It's 19,000, a little over 19,000 square feet. There's 10 courts. I will tell you this pricing is older pricing. We'd have to go out again and see what that looks like, but we'll work with the engineering firm on that one. This one here is 8 courts. And again, it just kind of shows you what that looks like. This is 15,744 square feet. It just squeezes it in. Obviously, it's taking off a court on each end of that is all it's doing. So that's what it looks like. This is for 6 courts, 11,904 square feet. And again, I think we really want to be in that 6 to 8 court. I absolutely positively would not recommend we do anything below that because all we're doing is we're building something we're going to have to maintain and no real way to monetize it. And that's what that looks like. Let's see. So moving on, as you know, we talked about last time we were working with Foothill Community Church, and there is no MOU, there's no negotiation or anything. It was a conversation that started well before I got here. I guess this has been a conversation off and on over the years. And so the church actually reached out to us and said, hey, would you be interested in this? And it was timely because we start looking at, well, where can we put pickleball? I will tell you, of all the places that we've looked at, I do truly believe the best location is here. I'm going to show you another option here in a few minutes, but I do think this is the best location. It's right against the freeway. A lot of the noise, the little noise that's going to be up there is going to be offset really by the freeway traffic noise. I think it's going to drown it out. The only thing that is there, and I don't know if you guys will be able to see this on the screen, probably not, nope. But the top right near the three green boxes there are some apartments over there, but it is far enough. It's across the street and down the road a little bit. So that might be, we might get some complaints on that, but we're going to play with that, and we'll probably have to do some testing for sound and things like that out there. But that's the only thing. Other than that, there is no housing really in that area. You've got school right across the street, and you've got some commercial to the right of it. So we're not going to have that issue over there. Doesn't like what I'm talking about. There's stomach growling. Oh, gotcha. Feels good. So at any rate, you can see the church on the far left side there, outside of that red box. That's the church over there. They are they're looking to do an administrative building. They've got a building down the street a little ways, I believe, on Cambridge down there. And so they approach us and saying we'd like to do something like this. I know they have a daycare school right there as well, right next to our skate park. So that was the conversation. This is there's a lot of moving parts here. We'd have to figure a lot of things out. But the skate park is one of those. The play structure is another one of those. And then the restrooms over there is another one. The restrooms are old, outdated. They need to be redone for sure. They're problematic for us. So that is the parcel. If you look at that parcel, it's literally that. It's already split for us, so we wouldn't have to do a parcel split on our own property. That red box signifies a parcel, one, which is ours. And then Krista and the rest of the driveway or parking lot there, that's all one parcel as well. So there's no split that would have to happen. If you look on the right side of Krista, there's three parcels. The main parcel and the parcel that we own are about the same size. The other two are a little bit smaller, and the lines do not line up with, they're not the scale. I just drew those for visual representation only. But that is all and said. I want to say that's a little over three, almost 4 acres there. And there's no real use for them because it separates, where they're at and where they want to be. So I thought it was a great opportunity for us to look at that. I think we've got Quimby funds. I think we absolutely positively should be looking at that. This is also an opportunity to create a new park. And using a new park or creating a new park allows you to use some other fundings we wouldn't otherwise be able to use. And so that was one of the things. So we're still looking at that. This is a plan. We're going to bring several options to you and kind of go from there. This is a street view shot, and this is just taken from Mary Chase, our properties where all the trees are and everything on the far right. And this is just really to kind of give you the perspective of what the slope and topography looks like over there. So gentle. But the plan that we looked at, the courts would be terraced into that, and so that would help on excavation costs as well. This is a broader view. This looks at all three of those parcels. You can see the commercial building off in the distance there, and then our parcels to the right there. And this is on Mary Chase again, looking at this would be looking like if you're across the street at the school. I am not a good artist, and so I cut and pasted this on there, but I'll show you better pictures in a second. But this is essentially what we would be looking at. You'd look at three sets of courts, three banks of courts, I should say, down and terraced down, and it's positioned the right way, north to south, which is what they talked about a little bit. So that's what that looks like. This is just a little bit better view. There's space in between. You can see the steps down. They'd be all terraced. We'd obviously be ADA compliant. And this gives you 9 courts. And so that's kind of that sweet spot right there where you could monetize this. The other thought was, say you have that court at the very bottom that's nearest Mary Chase. That might be your basic. So entry level. You can have camps, you can have private lessons, instructions, things like that. The middle one, that one is going to be intermediate. And then the upper one, that would be for your advanced players or just free play. So there's a lot of things that we can do and we can program in there. We would like to program camps out there because we think that there's most of our pickleball is an older population. And that's not slamming anybody. I'm older as well. But we would like to energize some of our kids and to get them out there, to get them energized and interested in pickleball, because I think you want to keep this going. So as our knees are going out and our toes and feet are going out, you want to get that next group that's going to be able to come in and utilize the facilities also. Again, just different shots. What I liked about this one is you can also see the seating in between each terrace. And so you can have people waiting to play, or you can have tournaments where they're watching and fans out there. That would be pretty neat. Just another shot of it here. Just another shot of just pointing out the height of the fencing, things like that. Mark's been in contact with an agency nearby. There might be some lighting that we'll be able to bring from there to here, which would save us a significant amount of money. So that'll be good. This preliminary estimate, this was the Allsport, again, the same company that did the first part. This one, they did go out there from an engineering perspective. They shot all the slopes, and they did get all the numbers and things like that. Their approximation was $1 million to $1.1 million, but that did not include lighting, benches, landscaping, drainage outside the courts, and things like that. So any of these are going to be expensive. We are working with them to look at what the cost would be and the other models that we showed you. And then we're also looking at a smaller module. I know, Chuck, we talked a little bit about something a little bit up, higher in up there towards the highway. We're going to look to see what we can do there and if we can get enough courts in that space. So we're going to have them redraw some of those and actually shoot all the lines and all that. So that's what we have there. I will pause. Do you want me to move on to the next section? Because we have another option. I'll do that. Okay.
Yeah.
So we've been talking a lot. Mark and I, we have lots of ideas. We had a thought of looking at using the school. The school's got 8 pickleball courts right next to us, like literally right here, attached to our parking lot. And so that is right here. And so if you look at the top where you see the trees of the parking lot, that's our parking lot. The trail, that's where all the kiddos go to school every single day. There's 8 pickleball courts. They're in great condition out there. And, you know, we met with the superintendent's team, and it was very positive. They're open to the idea. They actually gave us a key to it to kind of go out there and look and take some measurements and things like that. A lot of our concerns that we had at the lake are mitigated here because there are already pickleball courts. We looked at the closest residents. I think we're going to be a little over 300 feet, about 350 feet. So the sound isn't horrible. I don't even think they're going to hear it over there, especially with the traffic going down Country Club. The other thing is, you know, you've got baseball out there every day and they're using aluminum bats, and you can hear that ping from miles away. It's not going to be nearly as loud as that. So these 8 courts are, you know, available for our use. They would love to do something on a partnership basis with us. We offered up our pool for their kiddos and then, you know, going over there, you know, for gym and things like that. And so we're trying to work some things like that with them. It didn't sound like there's going to be much, if any, cost to us for this. Basically, we would just maintain those courts. This is positive in so many ways. One is it's right here. And so our staff can unlock and lock. If there's an emergency, our staff is right here. We can have our staff maintain it, which is another great thing here. You would be under an MOU. Obviously, we provide the insurance, which we're already covered. There'd be nothing new we have to do. This would be for after-school use and on weekends. And then when school is out, we have it every single day we want. And so there's lots of conversations that we would still have on this to make sure it's something that's viable. We invite the pickleball members that are here to come up and take a look at it with us up there. That's, you know, one of the concepts we want to throw out there. I think this is something that we should consider, especially in the short term, and maybe even in the long term, because again, I'm looking at the cost. The school's looking at it from a resources, hopefully underutilized. They just don't, I don't think I've seen a single kid up there since I've been here 10 months up there, and they just don't use it. And so there's a lot of the things to work out, but know that we're walking down this path. We had a great meeting with them yesterday. We had a great meeting with them yesterday, all positive. Like I said, they gave us the key already to it. More to come on this one.
Go ahead. Are you finished with
the pickleball? Yeah, I'll pause here because the other one's a different topic, but I'll pause
okay.
here if you want to.
Questions on pickleball?
No.
All right. I just have a couple, and then you're still on the whole Krista McAuliffe
yes.
Park update. Okay. Just on this concept here, how would you monetize this?
They said we are free to monetize that any way we want. So what we would do is we would do exactly what we do here at the gym. We would have to come up with a system to do that. The next topic I'm hoping would help with that. The other thing we would want to do is hold tournaments here. I know we had one tournament. Chuck helped me out probably 2-3 months ago, something like that. We had a tournament. It was a smaller scale mm-hmm. tournament. Here with 8 courts, you can have a larger tournament. So that, I think, is what we'd want to do to monetize this.
And how would you have our residents access that? I know school's out. It's only available when
yes.
school's out. So how would they go through and get there?
Yeah, so the intent would be to check in here at the CSD. It would basically, this would be another one of our facilities. It's under MOU. Just like we rent, for you know, lack of a better term, our gym to AllNet, the basketball league.
Yeah. I'm saying specifically,
yeah.
physically, how do
there's
they get there?
Right there?
Yeah, there's a gate. There's 2 locked gates there. So we would unlock the gate. Our staff would unlock the gate at time it opened, and we'd lock it up when it's
Okay. And maintenance would include court fees as well as garbage collection and so forth?
We would have to take care of that. They did make that clear. They don't want to impact on their
folks. And bathrooms, they'd come back here and use our bathrooms?
They'd come back and use our bathrooms. Okay. There's a porta potty out there that I think Ponderosa Little League has out there. Yeah. We could certainly look at something like that as well, but our restrooms aren't that far.
Okay. And then my other comment would be, should we build a new park with pickleball in there, we could also consider putting in a new bathroom.
Yeah, so we didn't get too deep in that. That's why I would say if it's a viable option, we look at all three parcels because the intent would be to put a pickleball complex. I would say you put the new skate park and you put the new playground area, restroom facility, concession stand, key point, concession stand, and then you do a new parking lot on that far parcel down there, and that keeps a lot of the traffic off Mary Chase.
Okay. Those are all mine for the pickleball thing. Mm-hmm. So why don't you continue with your Krista McAuliffe Park updates?
Take it out from pickleball.
All right. But if I do that, then we're going out twice for the one item.
Oh, okay.
But I'll continue. This is a quick one. Yeah. So we've talked about this before. Chuck, I know you and I, we've sat down and we have talked. Rusty was part of that conversation. I strongly, strongly, strongly recommend that we continue to push for a pickleball club formation. I think we just have to have that. If we had more people here, it wouldn't be as big of an issue. But what we do a lot of now is we really manage other groups. And so our futsal program, which is off the charts popular, we do a revenue share with them, but they organize all of it. We do the administrative work for them, but we do a 60-40 split with them on the revenue. But they manage that whole thing, and it's simply they're using our facility. Basketball is the same thing. They're using our facility. We've got a lot of different agreements like that. Either it's a 70-30 for using your facility, and we're doing your back-end work. We do that with volleyball. We also do that with taekwondo. It's at their facility, but we manage the back-end for them, and we do a 70-30 split with that. Here, if it's our facility, we do a 60-40 split. Our most popular program is futsal, by far, hands down, well over 100 participants in that one. So that's what we want to get to with pickleball. Some of our challenges with pickleball is we still operate on the honor system. And I think I'll just say that people get excited. They want to go out there and play. But I can tell you the numbers coming in don't reflect the number of players that we have out there. And I'm not speaking anything out of turn. Chuck, if I am, call me out. But there's some free play that happens.
I don't play indoors, so I don't.
You, I got it. You have no play indoors over here? Oh.
It's crowded.
There you go.
It's popular, but it's interesting you bring that point up. We do have annual passes, but it's just too many times we go up there and there's $10 in there or $11 in there, but it's packed for hours in there. And we know not everybody has an annual pass. And so that system just isn't working. And so you have the wear and tear, the electricity, everything, and operating it. We just don't have the revenue to maintain it. So that's why we start talking about a pickleball club, because I think what that allows you to do is if you're part of something, I think people tend to keep each other in check. And we do. We have a lot of folks that try to do that out there, but you have just a lay citizen trying to tell another citizen to do something that causes issues. And so the pickleball club formation, this has been very successful in other locations up to and including, you know, additional funding to make some repairs and things like that. So I've talked about this before. I strongly recommend that we look at, you know, forming a club. And then we have an agreement with the club. Either that's going to be time of use or that's going to be, hey, you have it from this time. There's a lot of different things that we can do with the club rather than right now we just open the doors. We unlock the doors. Everybody comes in and we take $10 or $20. We're just not getting that. We've got no control over that right now. We don't have the people to go sit there and manage it either. So
can
that's
I make a quick comment?
Okay.
Please.
Well, are you done with your update?
Yeah, okay. That was a key point that, which is to bring.
Yes, thank you. Yep. Okay, so out to the public. No questions? Uh-uh. Okay, out to the public. Krista McAuliffe Park update, including all this pickleball stuff. We'd love to hear from you.
So just real quick, you were talking about monetizing it. I think one way to monetize it would be just like how you monetize this building, right? You're going to have someone like Chuck, or you're going to have whoever else sitting here playing, is probably going to be able to have drills, be able to teach. teach people the basics, right? You're going to be able to have lessons. You're going to be able to monetize it like that. I think it'll just take time. No one's coming forth because they don't know if it's going to, they don't know what's going to happen. But I think aside from doing tournaments, you're going to have people that are going to step up that enjoy it and are going to help you monetize that for sure. I just don't see that not happening.
Yeah, I think we're on the same page. A lot of people say it's a fad. I don't think it's a fad. It's been around for a very long time.
Yes.
We have a lot of people that enjoy it. Again, it's about making it accessible to all age ranges. I think that's how you keep it sustainable. I want to get it to just like we have our swim teams. Swim teams, essentially, they rent the pool from us. That's worked out really, really good. We have an MOU with them. We put the schedule out there. We say, what do you need? And that's what we do. That part is great. But I'm not dealing with all 500 of them. It's just the teams, the two teams. That's all we deal with. That's the intent of the pickleball club.
So the Sierra Sharks, does the money from the Sierra Sharks cover everything?
Absolutely.
Covers the pumps and covers all that kind of stuff?
No. No.
Like how much, like percentage-wise?
Oh, what did you did that? What percentage did you say?
I was going to say it's in the 20 to 30 range.
Yeah. It only covers 30%.
Right. Yeah. So when you look at pools and pools in California, anywhere, pools are a loss leader. You do not recover your loss.
And that's something that you have to maintain, chemicals,
right.
Yeah. All that kind of stuff, yeah. Right? I mean, you build a pickleball court.
Hey, folks, we're on Krista McAuliffe right now.
I was wrapping it up.
Thank you.
I think the court itself is going to, like, there's not a whole lot of maintenance, right? You're not adding chlorine.
Yeah, it's a lot less maintenance than you would have, like, on a pool. That's why on aquatics, like I said, aquatics are always loss leaders. You're never going to recover your costs. It's not possible. However, or you're paying so much, nobody's going to come. But when we look at the pickleball, that is completely different because we don't have, you know, the power usage. We don't have the chlorine. We don't have the maintenance company coming out to maintain the water. We don't have to have two lifeguards on duty every single day. So there's a lot of things we don't have to have expenses-wise. So I think they will cover their costs as long as you have enough of them.
Okay, thank you. Yes?
Yeah, Vicki Jacobs.
Thank you.
The money to build the courts, the first option, $1 to $1.1 million at this point?
That's $1 to $1.1, and that's not including the landscaping portion, yes.
Yeah, so are you talking maybe $1.5 million potentially?
I would say probably $1.2 to $1.5 million.
Okay, because the last, you know, we were talking $500,000 just less than a year ago.
Yeah.
So obviously this is updated and with everything that's going on inflation-wise. How much, that will come out of Quimby funds, right?
No.
Which funds does that come out of?
Park Impact.
Sorry, I always get confused.
Unless we build brand new, then it's Quimby.
Yeah, well, we don't have enough in Quimby. Quimby, we have 200,000-ish in there, and so the thought process behind Quimby would be you use that to offset the cost of the purchase of land of the other parcels, but primarily your funding for this would come from Park Impact fees.
How much do we have in Park Impact fees right now?
It's
2.3, 2.4. So this would take
there.
A substantial amount of those
yes.
Park Impact fees,
yes.
Which is something the board would want to consider because those monies only come in once, right?
That fund continuously goes up because there is still some building. We do get some
right.
things that come in. I would say that my recommendation to the board, I can, you know, spoiler alert, it's going to be that we focus on one or two projects as opposed to try to do 10. Because you're going to do 10, not that great. The costs are just enough to where I think we need to focus on what's going to be our benchmark for the organization. What do we want to put our funds in here? And that's what's going to bring back our best return on investment. That's what I think we need to be looking at. And in my opinion, that should be the pickleball court complex of some sort, along with what we do at the lake. I think those are the two we need to focus on.
Okay, but that would the park impact fees would that it covers the lake as well? So we have to decide how much between the two we want to spend.
Yes.
Right. The lighting, is there planning to be lighting out there?
At the pickleball, Krista?
Yeah, if you build the
lake. I would say you'd want lighting out there. And the thought process is just it gives you a little bit more time. And honestly, it makes it safer as well. That's one of our challenges at the skate park right now. I wish we had lighting out there. It might help with some of that.
Before a decision would have been made on something like that, I understand there's a lot less maintenance for this than there is a pool. That makes sense. But would there be some sort of breakout as to what things would cost, including the power or the lighting and the
We'll do a full pro forma on that, and yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, because that would come into, that would be out of general funds, because it's not part of the park impact funds to maintain.
It would be out of general funds, offset by user fees or whatever we do with that. Yes.
But yeah, it's not a park impact fee once the thing is built.
Yeah, park impact are for things, and everything else comes out of the general fund unless we had a CFD, a community facilities district, that can be used for operations, which we don't have right now.
Okay, thank you.
Next, pickleball.
I find it interesting that I'm interested in the Camerado option.
Yeah.
I find it interesting, though, because whenever we were going through this 2 years ago, that superintendent, said, I don't know if it's a new one, said absolutely not.
Yep.
We were told that over and over again as well.
I have, yeah.
Yes.
Because we wanted to go down that road. Mm-hmm. It is interesting, however, it doesn't fulfill the full need because most of us that play are retired and we play in the mornings and not indoors. So that's all well and good. My question is, will this committee be going to the board, as we talked about it at the last board meeting, and requesting an RFP for an engineering firm to move forward?
I don't think we need an RFP at this point. There's
With the engineering that you have?
The engineering that we have, the under my threshold as a GM, I think we can do that. They're also part of Sourcewell, which is a buyer's contract, so you don't necessarily have to go out and bid for those.
How old are those? Are those prices?
I tried to find that. I want to say there are two. Okay.
Eve Lowry got those back when we had a meeting.
Do you remember what year that was? 17?
2023.
Yeah. Okay.
Maybe.
Gotcha.
It could have been during 2020. For some reason, I'm thinking it was even during the pandemic. So.
Okay.
But I don't think that included the parcels.
No,
that the church homes.
No,
I think those were the ones that were at Krista.
No, yeah. It was just the first ones you showed. And
correct.
I would like to throw out Liz Gates, by the way. I would wonder if the engineer could see putting those courts on the other side of the soccer field. And the reason being that I know from the studies that I did and, you know, my own concerns where they were previously, there are school regulations for when you can have that sort of noise, and it is straight across the street. So I don't know if that will be an issue. And I know you say those apartments aren't all that close, but they aren't all that far either. So you want to be sure you looked at that.
We are. We will.
Go down the wrong road.
That's what I presented.
We're absolutely going to be doing that.
Closer to the freeway and not too close to the Mary Chase.
Chuck, I just want to make sure you were done.
Yes.
Okay. Anyone else? Public comment. Yes, please.
I want to just circle back around about the skate park, the existing skate park. So I definitely want to share that I think the skate park is utilized. I know some people think that it's not, but I go by there often. My son uses the skate park almost every single day. He's used the skate park since he was a kid. I've talked to many kids and parents that go to that skate park, and they, when I let them know that the potential was that they may take away the skate park, the concern is that if we do this land swap with the church and then they decide to take away the skate park in the park, are we going to get our skate park back? And that's my big concern. There's really no maintenance that has to be done at that park other than like blowing the concrete off or whatever. I know you mentioned that you guys might be putting in some kind of seating where that outhouse building was. So I think I'm happy to hear that because you're doing some improvements to it, which would be great. But I'm just really here to support the skate park. I really would hate to see that go away and then us not get another skate park for kids in our community because they do use that park. I've been out there and taken photos recently just to kind of show that there are kids out there using the park.
No, I appreciate your comments. We know there's absolutely use out there. I think we're just looking for, we do spend a lot of time out there cleaning up. We do spend a lot of time. There's graffiti, not all the time, but trust me, it's all over next door the moment it happens. And so we budget $4,000 a year for that, and specifically it's for use out there, unfortunately. I think that if there's some lighting out there, maybe we wouldn't have as many issues. But it's also no lighting, and then it's up and in the back corner. So it's out of sight, out of mind. You can't see what's going on. If that was better lit up, I think we might not have as many issues. That might be something that we look at down the road, too.
Yeah, because my son goes to El Dorado Hills to skate, mm-hmm. because up here, once it's dark, when he's at work, he can't skate.
Exactly.
So he goes down there.
Yeah.
But I do feel that that would be a help if there was money available to do something like that to improve that park for the kids.
Thank you.
Great, thank you. Mm-hmm. All right, last call for Kristen McCullough.
Good.
Great, all right, moving on. To review of parks, item 4, parks deferred maintenance projects.
You did that.
Great. Yeah. We've already seen number 4 was combined in with the item 2. Concession stand at community center. We kind of heard about a little bit.
Yeah, this one will be super, super quick. As you know, it's always been designed as a concession stand, and we kind of came across it. It says concession stand, what is this? And we were using it as an office for another employee. And so we really brought that back to a concession stand. So the cooler's in there, ice maker, coffee machine, all those things. We've had a couple pop-up events. Our latest one was at Trunk or Treat. We had over 800 folks show up. And it was very popular out there with the different offerings that we had. I think when we look at what we can do, not just from the monetary standpoint, but just more things for people to do, to spend more time in the community center. If we had that open, and that is the plan, during our peak seasons, you know, you've got your camps going, the pool is busy from 9 a.m. or from 5 a.m. to 9 p.m. every single day. There's literally hundreds of people that are coming through here every day. It's sad that we don't have that open. So the concept is to make that open during our busy time, but then also just to perhaps have that open as just kind of a little bit of a coffee shop so people can come in, they go and they do pickleball, they grab some water, they can buy pickleballs from there as well. We have some in there. We even got the right color. Yeah, we talked to you. I don't know if the right balls or not. We checked, but we're looking at all of those. There's paddles in there in case you forget your paddle. You can borrow one. So we're looking at all of those things. The swim teams have traditionally done their own thing for swim meets, and I think that's a missed opportunity for us. We've got this beautiful, very expensive facility, and the swim teams bring in a trailer, and they have their own concession stand, and that goes towards them, but none of that comes back towards the maintenance and things like that. And as we talked about earlier, obviously we're not covering our costs in the pool. So we met with the swim teams, and they are very interested. I thought it would be a lot of pushback, and it wasn't. They want to partner with us on that concession stand and keeping it open. So I'm excited about working with both teams to do that. So during the swim meets, that'll definitely be open. So we'll have to flex some hours there. Up to and including, they said, hey, do you mind if we sell some of our sharks or some of our aqua salt? No, absolutely. Let's do that. So we're working with them on that. That will also be our primary check-in center. The intent is for everybody to come through the courtyard area, check in. I think there'll be some additional security recommendations I'll make in the future. This back area needs to be secured and blocked off. We get a lot of people walking through. And our camps are right here, and it's very easy for a kiddo just to walk off right there. You're right out in the roadway back there. We're talking about blocking off this road. This has become a bypass behind us. The purpose and intent of that back there really is to get you 360-degree access for the fire engines around there. And so we're going to look at that because we get a lot of speeders coming through there. But everybody will come through here. We've already talked to the swim teams. We used to do that. I think during COVID, we relaxed on that. We've already got signs, exit only on the other side, so they will not be locking that open and having their swim members come through there only through this side. Everybody's going to come through this side. So that's going to be the hub over there. That's what I have for you on the concession stand. We're excited about doing that, and we've got a full plan to get that up and going.
Thank you. Any questions?
Nope. He answered my question.
Okay. Questions on the concession stand? Out to the public. Yes.
So why are we not staffing the concession stand at this point?
We've got permitting and everything. We're all good to go on that because we have a commercial kitchen. We can serve packaged food. We can serve prepared foods and things like that. So now it's about getting all the bands and everything in because we want to open the concession stand as well as a check-in stand so we can better utilize our people. Mm-hmm. So that same person that's going to do the check-in is also going to be selling the concessions. We don't have to hire another new employee for that.
Thank you.
is there ever an opportunity to have like volunteers?
100%. I love your thinking. Yes. So our volunteer program that we recently, the board recently approved, we've already got a couple folks that have sent their applications in. They're very interested in doing that and they want to volunteer. So 100%, yes, we will have volunteers out there. The swim teams have already said they'll volunteer during their meets as well.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Concession stand. Okay, moving on. Shade structures.
Shade structure, we touched on a little bit. We've been working with one company. We'll be looking at a couple others. They've taken a long time to get back to us on some things. So we sent them some preliminary drawings. We have conferred with the auditor controller on whether or not we can use Park Impact for those. His thought is yes, because it's the offset the impacts and effects of due to growth. And so when you see our swim teams, not just our swim teams, but our swimming lessons, there are hundreds of kids out here, and there's nothing shading them out there. And so those programs are getting more and more and more popular, so we need to put some shade structures in out there. So that's a revenue source that we can use for that. So more to come on that one. We're working with companies to get more quotes on that.
Any time frame?
I don't have a time frame for it. He was supposed to get back to us last week, Friday. He did not, so that's why we're looking at a few more companies.
Okay. Questions?
No.
Questions on shade structures at the pool? Anyone? Okay, moving on to parking box updates. Maybe we already did
covered.
That.
Covered.
Covered that.
Minor issues here and there. We did have somebody run into it. I don't know how they did that, but on their bike.
On an e-bike.
I think it was only open for a couple days. We also had, I don't know if it was intentional, but it looks like somebody might have jammed something in the
credit card reader.
Which rendered it inoperable for a period of time. So I think there's 3 or 4 days.
Yeah.
So we had a person out there for one of the days, busy days, but we're working through little things like that, the printer. But other than that, I mean, when you look at the use, it's working really, really good.
Okay. And on to item, anything from the public? Parking box updates, gate at the lake.
I have a question. Yeah. You commented you had about $11,000 in revenue from the is that in the $5.50 that you collect from each vehicle, not like passes, additional passes that were?
That's just in credit card charges.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I can tell how many people have come through from the annual pass, mm-hmm. but I mean, we'd have to come up with, okay, we're going to attribute, 30% of that annual pass value to the lake or not. So mm-hmm. It's more than that, but from credit card fees alone, about 11, and that's gross because we have to take out of that the credit card fees.
Mm-hmm. That's
less than 5%.
3%. That's why we added we went to 350, so yeah. We'll cover 550 to cover the fee. So it's about 3%.
I'm glad to hear that number. And yeah. I'm surprised because it seems like when I tried to look and mm-hmm. see, the parking lot just looks quite empty.
You know what's interesting is you asked earlier some of the busier times. I thought the busier times would be later in the day, the weekend. The weekends are popular. Our busiest times from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m.
Yeah.
Truly what it was. And I talked to a couple out there around the lake, and they asked us maybe we open it up for free during that time. And it sounded like a great idea to me until I went out there for a week every day going, oh, no, we're not doing that. Yeah. This parking lot's full. They almost had me, though.
Okay, moving on to staff updates.
Swim teams, we met with the swim teams, great conversation, we're all on board, we're working on their new MOUs, they know there'll be a rate increase, we're trying to figure out what that's going to be, so we're working with them on that. We had a conversation on resident versus non-resident fees, and I feel the board wants to keep the resident versus non-resident fee schedule. The thought process is the time that we spend in trying to figure out if somebody is a resident might be more than the cost of the discount. The discount's about $5. But we got the message from the board, we'll keep the resident, non-resident fee rates the same. Status of the MOUs, we just talked about. Transition to ActiveNet. I will tell you that we are in full swing. We're looking at a March full implementation. We had our first big implementation session today. It lasted from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., and most of the sessions are from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., so we're really looking forward to those.
And we already heard about the update of signage on the parks. Mm-hmm. A question on the resident versus non-resident mm-hmm. rates. So I used to play soccer down in Folsom at the indoor, and the way it was managed is that everybody had to submit their address.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but we submitted it as a team. And so the team manager would add it up and say, we have this many resident and this many non-resident. So it wasn't on the facility to come up with that. And so it would be on the team. So that would save us some time. $5 difference doesn't sound like much. I don't think I might want to...
We do that already. Yeah. The teams are already managed that way. And
okay,
so
good.
The teams submit a roster. I'm talking about the individuals that come in and spending the time in facility rentals and those kind of things.
Like the Frisbee people?
What's that?
Like the Frisbee people?
Not necessarily even the Frisbee people. So say you want to rent the hall, or say you want to come in and get one of our programs or one of our classes, that's where we're spending the time and looking that up. And so when you look at 95682, that covers a big area.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's some folks that even think that they live in Cameron Park, or there's some that live in Cameron Estates and they thought they lived within our jurisdiction and they don't. Those are the challenges. And so we just wanted to bring it to your attention. It was a thought. If we made it one fee, that potentially would save time, but we got your direction on that.
Okay, any questions? No. All right, out to the public. Any questions, comments on staff updates? Okay.
Speaking of MOUs, did you guys ever get an MOU on the guy giving tennis lessons?
Funny you bring that up. I have been trying to find that gentleman for a long time.
He's there all weekend, I think.
I go out there on the weekend. I've not found him. I found one time, and I thought it was him, and I won't accuse anybody, but he had a big cart. But we need to definitely do that. The signage is out there. We need to ring that in for sure.
Because that goes to the parking issue as well, because mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure those people...
Yeah.
Don't have an annual pass or pay to get in, so they're walking in.
Mm, okay. So, and, he was walking from the outside, the person I saw.
I saw him, and I thought, oh, I can catch him, right?
Yeah.
Well, he had his little tennis ball shoe, mm-hmm. whatever that thing is called. Yeah. But it was just him, but he walked in from the outside.
Yeah. You guys have the liability.
Well, you can still ask him if he's
running a business.
If you see him there, you can still ask him if he's doing lessons.
Yeah.
I mean, hopefully he wouldn't be dishonest. More dishonest. Okay, never mind. Okay, anything else from the public on staff updates? Perfect. All right, moving on for items for future committee meetings. We had a boatload on the minutes. Let's see, we had swim team rates we did, resident nonvert status. Oh, it's the same thing.
We covered a large
majority of
the tennis courses on there.
Items for future committee meetings, and what do we want to do with the information you brought us today?
Those are things that passively continue to work on those. This is more of an update than anything else.
Just going
to
update.
We'll be working with the engineering firm to look at some options out there at the lake. At Krista. We'll continue to work on that.
All right, so some of these things may bubble up. I like the revenue thing for parking box in your standard report.
Okay.
Kind of sprinkle some of the information you gave us today in your report.
You mean for the full board?
The full board, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep, we can do that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You like that? All right, and we're not taking any items to the board of directors, right?
Yeah, I don't know that we need to take anything there yet.
Yeah, I don't see anything. That's ready.
We'll have more information, I'm guessing, on the school district MOU as we make sure we don't know if we need a conditional use permit or not. So there's some things that we have to do on our side on that. As for Krista, we'll be working with All Sports and getting him back out here to do those measurements and things like that. So there's nothing to take yet.
Will the presentations you gave today be listed with the minutes on the website?
We will. We'll make sure that they're available.
That'd be great.
Yep.
Good. Great. Matters to and from committee members and staff?
We have one more question from the
public. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes.
Quick. No, that's okay. You mentioned a survey. Do we know when that survey is going to go out to the community?
Oh, boy. November 1st. We're trying.
Okay. Yeah. No worries. I know you're busy. I was just curious because I want to make sure people are aware.
Absolutely. And I appreciate that. Yeah. We're hoping in the next couple of weeks. We got to get through the crisis we have at the lake right now, and we're managing that piece. But and then we still have a couple inputs from the board of directors. But I'm hoping the next 2 weeks we'll get it out there.
Understood. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yes.
And you will talk to the engineering guys about the option of pushing us closer to the freeway.
We're going
to
ask give us all the options you think that'll work.
I think that's the best.
We'll look at that.
I think that worked out really good. Cut the noise away, put us off on the side. Mm-hmm. We don't care about the freeway noise. We're okay.
Copy that.
Was there another comment, Liz?
Mine was a question. Mm-hmm. The minutes are basically just last month's agenda. So I don't know what took place at that meeting. I was looking for a recording and there isn't any. And I felt upset about the tennis court last month.
I think we talked about the same thing. It was just a conversation about the instruction being given out there.
Oh.
But that was really it on there. There was some brief conversation tonight about potentially putting basketball courts out there.
I hadn't heard anything about that. Yeah. Are you considering putting, if I understand, was that part of the conversation on under tennis courts?
Tonight it was, yes.
Okay. Yeah, sorry.
Previously.
Yeah, that's the first time I heard of it.
Yeah.
Okay, here we are. Do you have any other any matters?
Yeah,
no.
I do, just real quick. So, and this has to do with the land swap.
Mm-hmm.
Has anyone considered that maybe if there was to be a land swap, has anyone considered talking to church that maybe donating money to possibly putting in at least some money for maybe new restrooms and the skate park? Or sounds like a play structure needs to be...
Sure.
Rebuilt and updated.
Yeah.
So
I just say the conversation, like I said, are very preliminary. They've offered basically that we would have use of that for. They're not going to build right away. Obviously, they'd save money to build an administrative facility. So it's not like it would happen tomorrow. We would have use of that until they wanted to start building that. But to your point, we have thrown it out there to a couple developers and other community groups. Could you sponsor? Could we give you naming rights, you know, some of those kind of things to put funds in for that?
Mm-hmm. We should do some fundraisers.
Yes.
Always.
Please.
Okay. All right. Anything else matters to in front, staff?
Yes.
Board?
Saturday.
Yes.
Saturday.
The 8th. Friendsgiving Pancake Breakfast Fundraiser for the Cameron Park Community Foundation. We put a lot of time, energy, and effort in here. Our fire department will be out giving a demonstration. CAL FIRE will have their hand crews out doing a demonstration. The Sheriff's Department will be here. Red Hawk Crew 42 from the casino will be down here. It's going to be fun. And so I'm happy to announce that everything has been donated. So that was a huge effort to plan for 250 people and have our community step up and donate. Everything
is here.
Everything is here. Yes, right in the main hall, and then we'll have demonstrations out, throughout. I think our lifeguards will be here, doing a demonstration as well. Come on down, bring your families. We're asking for a $5 donation.
Nice, like it. Okay.
What time does it start?
8 a.m. It'll go from 8 till noon.
Next item would be adjournment. Do we have a motion?
We don't need a motion.
We do not.
All right, we will adjourn at 7:17. Thank you, everyone.
Great meeting. Thanks for the feedback.
It was fantastic.